So I am going to hang on to my phone, since it's such a rare thing to be told, come bring your phone, and it's Pentecost. You never know where that Holy, what that Holy Spirit might be up to. So maybe something will happen, maybe something won't. We'll see. Three stories. First story. It's not long after Adam and Eve have had to leave the garden. God has already been very disappointed in humans and ended most of humanity once by bringing the floods. But God promises Noah that will not happen again. Noah's family begins to repopulate the earth. Everyone speaks the same language. A group of them decide to build a tower to the heavens. They believe this will make them famous and will prevent their being scattered around the earth. God takes a look and sees that they're all speaking the same language. This is only the beginning of what they'll do, God realizes. God decides to confuse their language so that they can't understand each other. They begin speaking in many different languages. Then God scatters them throughout the world. Second story. Many, many generations later, Jacob's son Joseph was sold into slavery and taken to Egypt. And he rises to become the second in command to Pharaoh. He rescues his family when they come to Egypt seeking food during a famine. He convinces them to all come and stay. Now, again, many, many generations later, there's a new Pharaoh who has enslaved Joseph's descendants. God hears the people crying out in anguish. God decides to deliver them from their misery. To accomplish this, he chooses, as is often the case, not a person you would expect. He chooses a shepherd, someone who ran away from Egypt after murdering an Egyptian. One day, the man, Moses, is out watching the sheep. Moses notices a bush on fire, but the bush burns, but then never actually gets burned up. Says Moses, I should go look at that bush that's burning, but not being consumed. And as he approaches, God speaks to him. God tells him that Moses will be the deliverer of God's people out of Egypt to freedom and to a promised land, one filled with milk and honey. And after a series of adventures and many years wandering in the desert, the people are delivered. Third story. Again, many, many years later, God has sent Jesus to tell the story of God's love, to bring forgiveness of sin and new life to the people. Jesus has been crucified, rises from the dead, and has ascended back to the Father. The disciples have seen all this. They are sad and confused and wondering what to do now. God once again uses fire and language, but it is to bring a whole new thing. We often have an image of the Holy Spirit as a gentle dove, like at the scene of Jesus' baptism. But here the Holy Spirit comes violently, the text tells us. A loud wind, a wind that is disorienting, frightening, and unpredictable. Tongues of fire, of flame come down and dance over the heads of each one there in the room. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they begin to speak in other languages. People originating from many different countries are gathered outside for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. They could understand what the disciples were saying in their own native language. Instead of taking away their ability to understand each other because of their constant hubris, in attempting to cross the boundary between human and divine, God now gives them a way to talk to one another, each in their own language. Now language becomes a way to spread the gospel, to tell the good news of Jesus, and the Spirit's power to create these connections is part of the good news in this text. God uses the fire that burns but does not consume to deliver the Holy Spirit and once again free us from slavery, this time slavery to sin. Moses was a spectator to the fire in the bush. Now the disciples are sharers of the fire. And we see the empowerment of the believers to bear witness to the ends of the earth. A continuation of the expansion of God's grace that has been moving outward since the very beginning. After creation, our story starts with God choosing to work through one family, then one nation, before eventually God is revealed in human flesh, and the covenant is opened even further. For the past few weeks, we've been traveling with Paul, sharing the story of Jesus mostly with Gentiles. Here the message goes to other Jewish folks, not to replace the Jewish religion, not to supersede it, but to expand the people who get to hear about God. The Holy Spirit proves not to be a quiet heavenly dove, but rather a violent force that blows the church into being. But, of course, even though I'm a Lutheran pastor and I'm only supposed to talk about things in threes, there is a fourth story. It's your story. It's the chapter about what you hear at faith will become as the Holy Spirit moves in you to bring a new pastor to you. A church never stays the same when a new pastor comes. The Holy Spirit and this new person will act on you in ways you cannot yet know. It might even hurt. The Spirit blows through communities in ways that may feel like difficult upheavals, but are ways that the Spirit drives us to new work, new communities, even new callings. The Spirit's power to create these connections is part of the good news in this text. You don't have to learn a new language to serve God, but you do need to learn the language of a God that loves you. It's about being open to when and how God is speaking to you. Through Jesus, through the fire the Holy Spirit brings, through a person sitting near you in a pew, through a total stranger. Feel the wind blow and the fire burn. Amen.